Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints happy cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Before we get to the horribleness of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the goddamn NFC and playing the Super Bowl in their home stadium, before we get to that atrocity, I want to remind
It sounded like a sound effect.
10 years ago today, the Saints won the NFC in the Superdome, beat the Minnesota Vikings because Adrian Peterson fumbled approximately 9,000 times, and it was glorious and amazing. So if you're having a bad day, just remember, 10 years ago today, Saints won the NFC. It was fantastic. Listen, we're going to get to Sean Payton's end-of-year press conference. I got a bunch of sound from that. That's really interesting. We're going to get to quarterback things with Matthew Stafford saying he wants out of Detroit. But first, I thought I was okay, and I was over the Saints beating Tampa. I mean, losing to Tampa, and they shitted it away. They played like garbage. They turned the ball over 4 times. And then I watched Tampa go to Green Bay today and win. And I don't even think the Saints could have won today in Green Bay, the way their condition. But to watch Tom Brady go to a 10th Super Bowl, he's going to have people sucking his cock all the next 2 weeks. And Andrew, of the last 8 quarters, he's played 2 good ones. He was great in the first half today. He was dog shit in the second half. And he was kind of mediocre against the Saints. He just didn't turn the ball over. Like, it infuriates me that Tom Brady has gotten to another Super Bowl, that lucky son of a bitch, and he didn't even play that great. Like, it's so infuriating.
Yeah, I'm bummed. You know, I said after the game that I felt okay and kind of at peace with the Saints being eliminated. And, you know, this whole week I've kind of felt okay. And then today, man, just watching the playoff games kind of made me sad. I miss Saints football. I watched the Bucks get into the Super Bowl, and I was just like, ugh. It's awful. So yeah, I'm not feeling too good right now.
God, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear that.
Tampa going to the Super Bowl. It's just Dave.
Yeah,
sickening.
Sickening.
It's the worst.
Sick people. Mentally sick. Sick people, sick in the head.
No, I mean, it's, I just, this whole Tom Brady thing, man, it makes me feel some kind of way. Like, I want to hate him. I do hate him. He goes to a different team in a different conference that was middling, and he somehow manages to make the Super Bowl again. Like, I mean,
as a wild card.
As a wild
card. I know, but like, what is, it's like, he doesn't do, I cannot wrap my mind around it. I don't understand how he does it. You know, it's just like Ralph said, like, he's not like playing amazing football, and like, he never really was like an amazing quarterback. He didn't make like he made some throws when he needed to make them, but like, I don't understand how he does this. It's like he just pulls this shit out of his ass. I know. It's like Tim Tebow. Like, all he did was win games. Like,
for Brady. Like, a 43-year-old dude having the arm that he's still got is, it's fucking amazing.
I
will say.
I hate I hate it, and I'll admit, I will be the first to admit, I hate it because I'm fucking jealous, and I hate that it's not Drew Brees. I hate that Tom Brady gets to continue doing this, and Drew Brees doesn't. That's why I fucking hate it. I will never like it.
Well, and another thing that was... That shows,
you know, this was like the whole thing. Everybody, when Brady left New England, the big question was, who was the mastermind behind all those Super Bowls in New England? Was it Belichick or was it Brady? Was it because Brady was a great quarterback or was it because Belichick was a good coach? So far, right now, it is game, set, and match Brady. Brady looks like I hate to say it, but you cannot argue it. He is the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game.
People were saying, how do Patriot fans feel? I was like, Patriot fans are probably fine. I wonder how the fuck Belichick feels, because this is like a giant nut kick
legacy. I'm sure Belichick and Pats fans are consoling themselves with what, the 5, 6 Super Bowls they've won. I'm sure they're fine.
The other thing that was really kind of annoying today was
my wife.
She was rooting for Brady because of him talking to Drew after the game and throwing Drew's kid a touchdown. She was like, that was so sweet. Tom Brady, he really understands. Only him and Drew understand how it is to play quarterback after 40. I think that was really nice of Tom. So I'm rooting for the Bucks. I was like, oh, get the fuck out of here with this. But so that was my day.
I mean, just get ready for the next 2 weeks because the media, they're going to be shoving it down your throat. Mahomes Brady love fest is going to be off the fucking charts. It is going to be, you know, the whole passing of the torch. Tom Brady, Mahomes, you know, the guy that used to win all the Super Bowls versus the guy that's winning all the Super Bowls now. you know, one last time for Tom Brady. It is going to be unbearable. We're also like 5 minutes away from a Darren Rovell tweet about how the different PMS color reds are like 2 digits away for the two teams. Like, oh, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers PMS color is 236, and the Kansas City Chiefs PMS colors is 238. Fun fact.
Oh, my God.
I'm Darren Rovell.
I can't. I wish I had. Can you rent the Unabomber's cabin in Montana, and I could just take like 2 weeks of PTO and just go to a cabin and not have access to my phone or the internet and just come back the Monday after the Super Bowl? My God.
Are you gonna mail anything from that cabin too, or are you just stay remote and quiet?
Yeah, for the next 2 weeks, if you get a package from Saints Happy Hour, don't open it. No, I wouldn't mail anything. All mailings.
My wife.
She's in charge of that. Oh, by the way, thanks to Adrian and Pam, and I'm not gonna butcher your name. It starts with an X and a V. But you signed up. They all signed up at the $12 level. Thanks to them.
It starts with an X and a V.
It starts with an X and a V. And I don't want to butcher that poor man's name. Zavinler or something.
Xavier?
No, it's not Xavier. It's like Xavier, but it ends in D E R S.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So So it's very confusing.
I guess the one thing we can thank Tom Brady for is that he has turned Aaron Rodgers' career after this loss. Rodgers' his whole just landscape of his career, his legacy is pretty Drew Breesy.
Coming over here, Aaron. The water's warm in failures in the playoffs. Come over here, buddy. The water is warm.
Super Bowl.
He's Breesy. And Aaron Rodgers, man, he was just kind of despondent after the game. He's like, I don't know about my future in Green Bay. I don't know. Everybody's future's up in the air.
I got to say, that part was beautiful.
No. So before we get to the Saints end of the year press conference with Sean Payton, and before we get to Matthew Stafford, I learned something really interesting today. Or Friday. Andrew doesn't know shit about American history because he went to school in fancy pants France. So, Andrew, I've got history questions for you.
He knows all about
you.
Napoleon.
I've got some history questions
Dynamite.
For you.
Dynamite?
Yeah. So, I had a history question for you. Was Ike Harris, was he a Civil War general that helped defeat the South at Gettysburg, or was he a Saints receiver on the 1978 team?
I'm going to go Saints receiver.
He was, God damn it. So,
I'm surprised he didn't know that right off the bat.
He did. He just dropped it. So that's what we're going to do. We're not going to do it. It's like a long bit, but like every week I'm going to try to come up with a history question to stump Juge. Maybe we'll get Thomas to do a graphic for us. We'll do some Jeopardy music.
Yeah, no, I never got much American history. I obviously did European history over there, and then by the time I came to Louisiana for high school and I went to St. Paul's, they were teaching mostly European history, because I guess they figured all the kids, American history by now. They've been being taught that for years. And so I never really got American history lessons.
I don't think Ike was a common name in 1862.
Yeah, that was kind of a dead giveaway, Ralph.
Yeah, Chester Arthur. Guard on the 1983 Saints or former U.S. president?
Chester Gardner?
Chester Arthur.
Chester.
That sounds like a
Is he really thinking about this?
That sounds like a president.
Yeah. Damn it, he's good. He's getting lucky.
Two for two, baby.
So what I want listeners to do is I want you to email saintshappyhour@gmail.com. I want you to email history questions you think you can stump Juge with, and if you stump Juge, we'll send you a prize. So saintshappyhour@gmail.com, put in
I'm
the title
shamed.
History
I'm,
question
I'm
for
getting
Juge.
Shamed. I'm getting shamed by my son at school because he's like he's 10, so he's in fifth grade and he's starting to learn, like he's like Civil War stuff, and I don't know any of the stuff, so he has like this bank of knowledge now that I've just like these people that you're talking about, I've never heard these names in my life.
So football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to Bet Online today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. I tweeted out late Saturday night, just a joke about the Saints quarterback situation. I was like, my quarterback preferences for the Saints, Matthew Stafford 1, Winston 2, Drew Brees 3, Aaron Brooks 4, Archie Manning Cyborg 5, Taysom 45. And people got mad at me, boy. That tweet has like 1,500 likes, but like 80 people just like yelled at me. And so it made me think, like, quarterback is all Saints Twitter. That's all we want to talk about. That's all we're going to discuss. We want to fight about it. We want to argue about it until the Saints make a decision. So, Dave, Matthew Stafford and Detroit, they're like, kind of mutually agreed, hey, I'm done here. We're going to try to trade you. So Matthew Stafford, he's the new shiny possible quarterback for the Saints. Would you want him on the Saints? And if you did, what would you give up for him?
Yeah, I would take him. I mean, you know, he's not that young. He's, what, 32?
32, yep.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that he gives you, you know, maybe 4-5 years.
Yeah.
Of decent quarterback play. It gives you time to find somebody else.
He'll be 33 in February. Next
yeah. You know, and I think Matthew Stafford is the perfect example of a quarterback who's got a lot of talent, who's got a lot of skill, has never been on a good team with a good franchise that's been able to build a team around him. I think he's the perfect example of somebody who could go to a better system and definitely win.
Yeah.
What would I give up for him? You know, I don't know. Like we were discussing earlier, I mean, he's going to have a market. I mean, there's probably going to be a lot of teams that are
going to
be.
He's going
to
have a hellacious market because I just want to name. I want to name the teams that need a quarterback: the Saints, the Bears, the Colts, the Patriots. Am I missing anyone?
Maybe the Steelers.
Maybe the Steelers. That's five.
The Lions? Did you say Lions?
Well, the Lions. They're moving on from Stafford. So that's five teams that don't need – and the Texans maybe if they would trade Deshaun Watson, right? So you could have six teams desperate for a freaking quarterback. Andrew, I like Stafford. He'd be my number one choice in a vacuum. But I really think he's going to get a low – he's either going to get a low first-round pick or, like,
Watson.
A second and a third-round pick from somebody. Like,
you're assuming that Watson is a pipe dream, right, that it just the Saints can't get him.
Yeah, like, I think – and I don't even think it's a case of the Saints not willing to go YOLO. I just think there's so many teams that have multiple first-round picks, and they pick higher than the Saints anyway. Like, the Saints the Saints could offer five first-round picks, and the Dolphins could still trump them because they could say, hey, we'll give you Tua – number 3, number 18, and our 2022 first-round pick, and that would be better than the Saints giving them five first-round picks. So it's just – I just think it isn't even a matter of the Saints' willingness to get nuts. It's just they don't have the ammunition for Watson. So that's why that is.
I totally agree. I totally agree, yeah. And the Saints picked 28, so when you think about parting ways with your first-round pick – you got to be specific about what that means, because if you're picking 16 and you're willing to give that up, that's a huge difference between that and giving up the 28th pick. So not all first round picks are created equal. And yeah, I mean, I would give up the 28th pick in a second for Matt Stafford. Absolutely.
The problem is, though,
I think the window is immediately open for the Saints again if they get a quarterback like that, because now you're pairing him. Like, look at what he's done in Detroit most recently, and now you pair him with Kamara. You pair him with Michael Thomas. You pair him with an offensive line that's competent. You pair him with Sean Payton. I think it would immediately open the window for the Saints to compete again in 2021.
Dave, here's my question to you. Let's say the Colts and the Steelers are like, we want Matthew Stafford too. We'll give you a first-round pick. So the Saints' first-round pick would be lower than the Steelers and the Colts. So that would put them behind the eight ball. So if you were the Saints and you really wanted Matthew Stafford, like, what's the point where you're like, that's too much? Would you say, okay, we'll give you 28 and we'll give you the comp third-round pick for Fontenot, because that's not even a real pick. We just got it because Fontenot got a GM job with Atlanta. So, like, what's the point where even though you might really like Stafford, you would – if you're the Saints – where do you think they would walk away and be like, we're just going to roll with Jameis and Taysom? Like, what's the point where the price gets too high?
I mean, I could easily see two first-round picks for Stafford. I mean, I know he's
old,
but I mean, you're talking about a proven quarterback who could potentially come in and
he's
win
30.
Immediately.
He's old. He's over 30, though.
I know, but I mean... I wouldn't be shocked if that
would you do it if you were the Saints though would you do it would you give up for two firsts
I
they did it for Davenport
I know that's the thing is like would I would I be happy with them doing it? I don't know. That well, actually, honestly, yes, I would. Because
I wouldn't.
Like Andrew said, they've done stupider things. They've done dumber things.
I know,
things
but they've done stupider things, but like that's not a reason to give up two firsts for a quarterback that's over 30. Like you know, I'm irresponsible at the casino, but it doesn't mean I should keep hitting on 18 at the blackjack table because I did it a couple
again,
times.
This is a known 28. One of those picks is 28.
Right. But this
do you,
is
do
this
you
is
think
a known, this is a known entity. You know what you're getting. This isn't moving up for a draft pick, for a rookie. This is going for a quarterback that's been in the league for what, 12 years, whatever.
Yeah. And he's got at least what, 3 years?
And
he's
has
got
never,
at least 3 years.
And he's what has he has I think he's never missed a game, right? Has
no,
he played every single game?
He's missed playing. He was injured last
year.
Oh
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's tough as a son of a bitch though. Like he played through a ton of shit.
Yeah.
You know. But here's the thing, Andrew, like I think the thing is with the Saints, it's not that the window is closing or whatever and their roster is going to be terrible, but like they're even though I think Loomis is going to do amazing things and the cap is not going to be as bad and they're not going to have to gut the roster like people think, I still think they're going to have a hard time this year and probably next year getting additions through free agency. So the draft is really how they're going to shape and improve this team. And for them to give up two firsts for Stafford, I mean, I think if you told me I could have Stafford, but I got to give up two first, or I could have Winston and Taysom. I think I'd go Winston and Taysom for that because that's so much considering where the Saints are. They're not in the same spot that they were in 2018 where they gave up two first for Davenport.
I think your argument for Watson is the same for Stafford. I think there are other teams out there that would want him and would have more ammunition. So I believe it's going to be difficult for the Saints. Forget the cap stuff. I mean, that's another thing with Watson. I'm not sure the Saints can even fit him under the cap, but let's say they were able to fit Stafford under the cap. I still think the Lions are going to find offers that are more appealing to him than what the Saints can offer. So
do you think the team that scares me to death with Stafford isn't so much, I don't think Carolina would do it because I think they're in rebuild mode and their coach has security. The team that scares me to death is San Francisco. Like, if San Francisco got Stafford, I think they would instantly be back to being a Super Bowl contender. You know,
they've had some serious injuries. You never know how those guys are going to come back. And, you know, they play in a tough division. So that's the thing about the 49ers is, you know, who knows from year to year how that division goes. But they beat up on each other. But the thing about – so I agree with you, Ralph. I think it's fun to talk about these – scenarios and these possibilities, but the reality is it's probably going to be Winston and Taysom. And I do think there's a really strong chance that Winston will be back because he didn't really do anything this year. I mean, other than that touchdown pass in the playoff game on a trick play where Traquan's wide open, he really hasn't thrown much. And so I don't think anyone's really seen enough to decide, you know what, I am going to make Jameis Winston the quarterback of the future. I don't think anyone's investing in him heavily. So I think he will be at a palatable price, and the Saints can bring him back, let those two compete. And the thing about Jameis is I do think his ceiling is maybe even higher than Matt Stafford's. I agree with Dave. I still feel more secure with Matt Stafford because Matt Stafford lives in this plane where you know his ceiling and his floor, and they're pretty close to each other, right? Whereas the variance with Jameis Winston, I would say, is actually higher than Stafford's ceiling, but the floor is much lower, and you don't know what you're going to get next year. So
I mean, tell me, Dave, you could lay out like five different scenarios with Winston, and they could all be plausible. You could be like 30 touchdowns, 25 picks, same old Jameis, Saints eject. You could give me like he starts out great, finishes crappy, then we have to make a decision. You could give me a thing where the Saints go 9-7. He's kind of a mess, but gets super hot in the playoffs, and the Saints make a deep run, and then they keep him. Like Winston, he's so tempting. Like he's like the mystery door, and that makes him so appealing to me. Like I want to be like I want the mystery door. Like what's that game show? Let's Make a Deal. I want to do like let's make a deal, and I want to pull the mystery door, but behind Jameis, just because I guess the 15 years of the same old consistency of greatness with Drew Brees, like I'm just jonesing to get really, really reckless and grab the mystery crate.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I mean, I'll say this. I'm with you, Ralph. I really want to see what Jameis can do. I really want him to have a shot. Regardless of what the Saints do, if they go for somebody like Stafford or Watson or bring somebody or draft somebody, I definitely want Jameis to be there and to compete for the opportunity to be the quarterback. I would, regardless of what they do. And just going back to Stafford and Watson and whatever and trading and what they would give up, I mean, is a player not an option, giving them a player?
Well, the thing is, though,
giving them a Taysom or a Michael Thomas or an Alvin Kamara. I know it's crazy. I know, but we can always find somebody else. Sean Payton is always good at finding those guys.
Did you mention the football team or Denver? Though those are destinations looking for quarterbacks too, I think.
Just add them to the list. Everybody needs a quarterback.
Well, I think Dallas is going to take the. But you know what though? The thing that's interesting with Detroit though, is what if Detroit, because they have Aaron Glenn, and they have Dan Campbell, what if Detroit came to the Saints and said, "Look, we don't want a first round pick. We want your second round pick." And we want Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Done. Where do I sign?
After Dan Campbell's speech, CJGJ definitely seems like a Dan Campbell guy.
Yeah. That's a good point, Ralph. There is some high fleece potential.
I mean, Stafford would be awesome, and he'd be great for the podcast, but I'd be sad if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson left. Like, I love his smack talking. And oh, by the way, we only have 45 Forever Drew cups left. So become a patron and get yourself the Forever Drew cup before it goes away. Just saying. So the thing that was interesting to me is I listened to Sean Payton's end of year press conference. And he had a lot of interesting stuff to say. But the interesting thing, Andrew, is he talked about people leaving and why it can be a good thing. And I want to talk about that after we hear Sean Payton, because Joe Lombardi, he's going to get a second crack at an offensive coordinator job.
I know Mickey and I both look at it as a positive. Mr. B once came to see me and said, "Hey, we've got a lot of these guys interviewing coach." And I said to him, "Mr. B, it's not a concern." I said, "The concern should be when no one has any interest in talking to any of your people."
It's a good point, Andrew. Teams only want to talk to teams that win, but the Saints have had six serious sort of drain out of the building. They lost Terry Fontenot. They're going to lose Lombardi. They've lost Glenn. They held on to Ryan Nielsen. Sean Payton told Ed Orgeron to go get fucked, and they gave Ryan Nielsen a raise and made him assistant coach. But how concerned are you about the drain of assistant coaches?
Yeah, how could I not be? I mean, I think on some level we all know it's Loomis and it's Payton at its core, you know, and it starts at the top. And I'll throw the Benson family in there, you know, Gail. And so I think it's a well-run organization that has solid leadership at the top, but you got to replace those people. Aaron Glenn, for a while now, has been kind of viewed as one of the best Saints assistants. And, you know, Joe Lombardi is kind of known. Nick Underhill was saying this a bunch today, but Joe Lombardi is kind of viewed as working in the lab with Sean Payton, Carmichael, and him, and those three. And Lombardi comes up with a lot of the offensive game plan ideas, and he's super creative, and they really value him in the building. So that's a big deal. And Dan Campbell, you know, I know his press conference came off maybe a little ridiculous for some. Certainly the nerds didn't like it because it was maybe too, you know, 1980s.
Actually, the nerds really liked it because he wasn't locked in the scheme. And he's like, how you win football is you get your best players on the other team's crappy players and scheme and plays. That doesn't matter. So the nerds kind of like excited. The talking heads are the ones that fucking hated it.
They were offended.
Yeah, they were offended.
Yeah, but I do think Campbell had a type A rah-rah locker room kind of leader, motivational speaker kind of guy. And he brought an element from an energy perspective that the players really responded to. He was a former player. And so you've got to find a way to get those voices in the locker room with new people. And it's always got to be a combination of you want to get veteran coaches that are experienced. Mike Nolan's a guy I was just thinking about, like, okay, is there a place for him maybe on the defensive staff since he just got fired? And you want some young guys, some people that we've never heard of, some guys that the Saints will hire and all three of us will be like, who is that? Never heard of him. But you got to be creative about these hires because, you know, there's a lot of youthful coaches that are getting hired to be head coaches because they're offensive geniuses. And, you know, Joe Brady is kind of the closest to home. That's been this guy that went from, you know, low man on the Saints staff, basically getting people coffee, to offensive coordinator on LSU, co-offensive coordinator, whatever, and now he's in Carolina. So, you know, the ascension can be quick sometimes for some of these young minds.
Yeah.
But I think you want to try to find that person too.
All right, Dave, my next soundbite for Sean Payton, and this is I don't know how you and Andrew are probably more reasonable, but me, I am going to analyze every Sean Payton soundbite from now until the time when they pick a quarterback to whatever he says. I'm going to read into it like it's a conspiracy, and I'm going to believe that he gives us hints and tidbits on who is the quarterback of the future. He talked about the quarterbacks, and I want you to realize, Dave, he mentions Winston first, so I believe that means Jameis Winston is 100% the Saints starter in 2021.
I said it a number of times. I'm real confident in the players. We have a real good room. I'm excited about Jameis Winston. I'm excited about Taysom Hill. You know, those are guys that we've had a chance, obviously, to see for a period of time. Not as long, maybe not as much time with Jameis, but you know, we'll handle it accordingly. I mean, that position's important. It's vital. And
yeah,
and that's why we paid attention to an off-season signing like Jameis. We paid attention to keeping Taysom here. We knew there's a chance at some point in time we'll be dealing with the transition. Try to be as prepared as we can when that time comes. So I really like the prospects of those players and having seen them, you know, up close and personal.
Dave, am I a complete and utter lunatic for believing that means Jameis Winston is a starter? He mentioned Jameis first.
Yeah, it does. That does mean you're a lunatic. but it doesn't mean you know, you're wrong. Look, I think, and I will believe this the entire offseason, I think for sure they are planning on on re-signing Jameis, bringing him back, and he will be on this team competing for the starting quarterback job next season. Now, whether they bring in somebody else, again, whether they draft somebody else, whether they sign somebody else, I think that that's a possibility. I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be Taysom, Jameis, and I think they're going to bring in somebody noteworthy. I would say.
Are you guys surprised at all? I guess Dave hasn't mentioned him either. So, but are we surprised that Sean Payton and Dave haven't even mentioned Trevor Siemian yet?
Yeah.
I mean, he signed a futures contract. He is on the roster. He will be in camp.
Yeah, I don't think.
You're not feeling Siemian, huh?
No.
The Saints' 2020 season is over, but this offseason is going to be the biggest, craziest Saints offseason since 2006. Hell, it might be the craziest offseason the Saints have ever had. And you're going to want Saints breaking news. And guess what? The Saints Happy Hour, we deliver breaking news podcast every time something happens with the Saints. And you're going to need your Saints fix. You're going to want to know what's going on, and we deliver it for you. Become a patron for $10. You get the best swag box, 4 swag items. Amazing. You get access to the Discord channel where you can talk Saints 24/7 in a private chat. And you get access to this podcast ad-free every single day. No ads ever. You need the Saints Happy Hour podcast during the Saints offseason. So do it. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today. That's saintshappyhour.com. Mike Triplett asked Sean Payton about quarterbacks and how hard it is to find them in the mid rounds. And Sean Payton got mad at Mike Triplett, and they kind of went back and forth. But Sean Payton did mention that evaluating quarterbacks is freaking hard. So Andrew, listen to this soundbite. Does this make you think that they are sort of cold on the draft this year and won't be super aggressive to get a quarterback?
Because I think it's a position that oftentimes is poorly evaluated. You know, there's some years where you look at the first round and you wonder how this could have happened. And then it's even a bigger shock because, man, that's how the mocks had them being drafted. And then, well, clearly something went wrong. They weren't developed because we mocked them there. They were drafted there. And so... look, I think there's so much that goes into it. You know, it's not perfect relative to a science, and yet I think there are, in history shown us, more of them are found in the early rounds, no question. And yet, you know, there are great exceptions where, you know, guys were taken a little bit later and had great success.
Andrew, that's more QAnon from Ralph. I read into that soundbite. They're not trading up. They're not trading up. It's Jameis. We need to start a Twitter account, by the way. Saints QBAnon. And we just analyze and make up rumors. And I can be QBAnon. I can be the source of all the fake rumors. But we need a Saints QBAnon Twitter. But Andrew, does that soundbite, does it make you think the Saints will be less likely to trade up from 28 and go get
Ralph,
a rookie?
While I give you this answer, you need to go on Twitter and create this QBAnon account right now. So go do that right now. I give you your burner. But I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, it's interesting. Like you've got quarterbacks this year like Trask and Mac Jones. Guys, those two might go in the first round. I mean, I don't know how they're combine's gonna go and all that, but there's a good chance they'll be drafted in the first round, and they don't look like first round talent QBs to me. They don't. I would be scared to draft either of those players. I know some people probably listening to this and think they're gonna be awesome quarterbacks, so I apologize if I offended you, but I just think he's right. I mean, there's a number of guys that get picked and they're a disaster, and I think part of it is circumstantial, because it's like, yeah, you go to the Jags, you go to the Bengals, like maybe you're screwed from the start. Maybe it doesn't really matter how good you are. If you're on a terrible franchise with a terrible coach and poorly supported, then you're set up to fail. You know, so that may be part of it for some of these guys. And yet quarterbacks are notorious for being overdrafted. And you see the dominoes, you see it happen all the time in these drafts where, you know, a guy goes first overall, then the next guy gets picked third, and then it's like everyone else that needs a quarterback is panicking. You know, they're trading up to six to take the next guy. And then so then the fourth quarterback is taken 13th. And by the time you get to the fifth or sixth, you know, it's like you're starting to get a diminishing returns here. Meanwhile, like the best center in the draft or the best running back in the draft are still sitting there available. So we've seen that happen a million times.
The human example of that, Andrew, is Christian Ponder for the Vikings. Where you're just like, they're like, we need a quarterback. We got to take him. He's not that good at Florida State, but he's got a strong arm. Let's just go. So here's a question that I want both of you to answer afterwards, because Sean Payton talked about the salary cap. And of course, we know that he's his in this soundbite. He's like, we figured the fucking salary cap out. We're the Saints, man. This is what we do. But I want you to listen to Sean Payton talk about the cap, and then I want to talk about which way we think the Saints will go this offseason.
I'd like to think it won't. What we don't know is, take the player you're referencing, which could be any player, what's the number for that player to get him back, or what's the number that someone else may be interested in signing him? Obviously, we have to wait to see where that cap number falls, and we'll begin the process of studying the roster and then, you know, looking closely at those decisions. We've always found a way, relative to certainly the players we know, to work through some of the challenges and some of the obstacles and put the best team on the field that we feel like is possible, and that will be something that won't change this year. Will it be challenging? Yeah, I'm sure it will be, but certainly, you know, we'll be looking at solution-based decisions that we feel like are best for the Saints.
So, Andrew, or Dave, what do you think they'll – I want to go to Dave first. Dave, what do you think the Saints are going to do? Do you think they're going to say – we're going to go get a quarterback, and we're just going to keep pushing all this salary cap mess. We're going to push it to the future again, and we're going to roll and try to win a championship. Or are they going to try to go to the middle ground where they're like, we'll push a little bit to the future, but we're going to kind of eat it this year, and we're going to kind of stand and try to clean up the cap, and maybe this is like a transition year. We're not rebuilding, but we're not going YOLO for the future. Like, what do you think is the same? What do you think their course of action is going to be with the cap for 2021?
You know, I really don't know. I would just be guessing. But I don't think they're really in a position to go totally YOLO. I mean, they are really behind the eight ball this season. I mean, I know they've been behind the eight ball in past seasons, but I think this is by far the worst it's been.
Because Loomis math has always been based on the cap is going to go up $10 to $15 million, so you always have more wiggle room than you think. And then a pandemic hit, and the cap is going down.
And it's blown up in his face. Yeah. So, you know, earlier this year, you know, I was always hoping that there was going to be some kind of bailout somehow.
It is kind of. I mean, I think the 17th game will help them a little.
Yeah. But I don't know whether they have the option to go totally YOLO. I really don't. You know, based on what Payton said, he says they're going to take care of the guys that he said. I think they're going to take care of the guys they know, which, you know, I guess that means there's, you know, a handful of guys that they really trust, that they want to, you know, that they really believe in, that they love, and that they're going to take care of, and they're going to make it work no matter what. I would say middle of the road at best for them. It'll be middle of the road financially as far as an approach.
Andrew, what do you think will be sort of, because I think the Saints have to get quarterback done, maybe try to get it done before free agency. But what are sort of tips that or sort of signs that you'll be looking for in sort of contracts that they do that will sort of tip you off and be like, hey, I think these moves that they've made means they aren't going to stand pat. They aren't they're still going to be chasing a Super Bowl they are like, we're not, maybe we're not in full YOLO mode, but they ain't reloading or retreading or whatever. They're still going for it, trying to win, trying to be a playoff team. What sort of cap moves would you see that they would do, and you'd be like, Mickey Loomis still chasing it hard?
Well, I know they, there's a few ones I would answer that with. I know they really value Marcus Williams. And so if they find a way to get him done and bring him back, then I think they're serious about trying to compete ASAP. Because I think that that's the kind of guy where he's going to get a big deal. And if you're just like, yeah, we can't compete with that financially, and you don't try to cap shenanigan it so you can keep him, then he's going to sign with a huge contract, and then maybe you get a third round pick as compensation for him. So in the subsequent year. So I think what they do with Marcus Williams will be pretty telling. You know, a couple of other things to keep an eye on. I mean, I think with Ramczyk, I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I don't think there's any way Ramczyk or Lattimore are playing on the Saints this coming year on their current deals. I don't think there's any way they will, because they're both on 1 year, fifth year option rookie deals. And I just think that's an easy way, by extending them, to lower their cap number. That's going to be part of the Mickey Loomis process of getting the numbers down to fit within the caps.
So, well, and also too, star players like them don't play out the fifth year option. You either extend them or you trade them. That's how that works.
No, they do if you've got the cap space, you know, and you want to see how they do in their fifth year. I mean, there's been plenty of first round picks for the Saints that have played out their fifth year, but I would say
who were
right
stars
now,
though? Who was a star that played out
Mark
their fifth
Ingram
year?
Mark Ingram played out his fifth year. Rankins just played out his fifth year. I mean, he's not a star anymore, but I mean, they've had guys. Rankins just did it. So anyway, my point is, I just think I look at Lattimore, and that would be a big one for me. I think if they extend him long term, then I think they're serious about trying to win this year and in the near future, because they want a number one corner. If they trade Lattimore to get his contract off the books and get under the cap, then that's about as clear of a signal as you can get that, like, we're getting rid of our number one cover corner. We're not planning to win this year.
Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Yeah, it's interesting. The reason I ask it is I think it can just go so many different ways this year. But the one thing I think that is clear, Dave, you know, and we've had free agency before where, you know, and like after 2011, they had to sign Breeze. And we were like, well, they got to get Breeze done first, and then they know what happens, and then they'll do everything else. And they didn't. The Saints, like with Breeze, they always were like, well, we'll just tag him in 2011, or, you know, after 2017 or 2018, they knew he wasn't going to leave, so they did other things before that. But I feel like, Dave, this year, like, they cannot go into the free agency period and be where they haven't made a trade for Matthew Stafford, or they can't have Jameis Winston being like, hey, Jameis, you can go take five visits and we'll figure it out. Like, they've got to lock in a quarterback, because you don't know how the draft is going to go. They're picking so low in the draft, there's no guarantee.
28th, yeah.
There's no guarantee, you know, that they can trade up and get a quarterback. So I feel like, Dave, quarterback is going to happen before free agency opens. Is that crazy? Is that a crazy theory by me? And should I fire up the X-Files music, and should I post that on Saints QB and on?
I don't know. They've been known to take risks and to kind of just let it fly. I mean, you know, they Loomis, Kai Harley, whatever. You know, they've got a good handle on the market, and you know, they know that if they could let a player just go and sit there, You know, if they've got a player that thinks he's worth something and they know he's not, yeah, go ahead, go look for that. And then come back to us when you realize, you know, you're wrong. I don't think it has to be a done deal.
So before we get to
real quick, I was looking at the history of the 28th pick, Ralph, which is where the Saints are picking, and
is it terrible?
It's so bad. I mean, if you look at 40 years of drafting 28th overall, yeah, Daryl Green was a great corner for the
Hall of Fame,
formerly Redskins. Derek Brooks, the linebacker's on here.
Tampa,
For the Bucks, he was good. You've got Joe Staley, the offensive tackle for the
Niners.
Yeah,
he's good.
And Mark Ingram, both Mark Ingram Jr. and Sr. are on here.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was a little interesting tidbit. His dad in 87 and then him in 2011 were both picked 28th. But that's about it. That's the list. I can read these out. Only one QB, actually, Mark Malone, who is terrible. Since 1980, but yeah, a lot of garbage.
That sort of solidifies Dave's argument of fucking send that first round pick for Matthew Stafford, baby.
Yeah. Like,
send it and send the compensatory third this year and next year and get Matthew Stafford in the building, baby. So, Andrew, I've got questions. You go into Discord and pull up the other questions. But, Dave, this is from Reichert. Was watching the NFC Championship game more like a root canal or a Tabasco enema?
Oh, God. Well, I'm happy to report that I've never experienced either of those yet in my life.
That is amazing, considering the amount of sugar that you consume. That is a bigger upset than the Pelicans losing by 20 to the Timberwolves last night. Jesus Christ.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
I floss every day. Look, it's all about flossing. You got to make sure you floss, kids. I'm going to say, I don't know. I mean, like a root canal, they give you the drugs. I mean, you know.
Root canal is not bad now. I've had three of them. They're not bad. Like, they drug you up, and they depending on your dentist, like, I have a great dentist. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you could give for a Tabasco enema.
I mean, that sounds
terrible. Like, you've got to live through that, you know,
yeah,
straight up all the way through. So I'll say a Tabasco enema.
Dr. Keon asks, can we get Aaron Rodgers, Andrew?
No.
Do we have any questions?
The Packers aren't getting rid of him.
No.
Come on.
I mean, they have Jordan Love, but they're not going to – I mean, they get 5 years of Jordan Love.
He's the freaking MVP. There's no way they're getting rid of the MVP.
Do we have any questions in the Discord channel, Andrew?
Yeah, we got several. I'll give this one to you, Dave. Here's a question to ponder. Could the Saints have won the Super Bowl with one of the following QBs – in the 2018, 19, and 20 seasons? So any of those three. The list is Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Stafford, Taysom, Jameis, and Tom Brady. So six QBs. Disregard cap and circumstance. Would it be possible to win the Super Bowl with any of these six? And if so, which ones?
Absolutely. Tom Brady, obviously, because
Tom Brady that have three, and Tommy Lee Lewis would be dead because the amount of flags that would have fell on him would have crushed his body in 2018 if Tom Brady was the Saints quarterback. That is a fact. And you cannot change my mind.
Timestamp that's your clip for the week right there, Ralph.
That's very true.
That's a great quote.
And then Mahomes for sure too. I mean, Mahomes is
Watson. Why they probably win with Watson?
Yeah.
What about Stafford?
They could win with a lot of those guys.
Stafford to me.
Now let's go Jameis and Taysom.
I don't know.
No. Jameis and Taysom are too. They turn the ball over too much for me. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think Stafford with the Saints though would be very fascinating to me, not only because it would be fun, But it would be Stafford would have no more excuses. Like if he would come to the Saints and flop, his entire career will be completely different. Whereas like now he's sort of like the Archie Manning of the Lions, right? But if he comes to the Saints and the Saints have won 49 games in 4 years and he doesn't at least get the Saints to the playoffs a couple times, his career will look completely different. So I'm fascinated with the Stafford to the Saints.
All right, we've got Amick 5505. He's asking us again if we would trade first rounder for Stafford. We already answered that. I'm going to give this one to you, Dave. This is a good Dave question. This is from Hoodat, H-O-O-Dat. Casey likes to play from behind after spotting the opponent a TD or two, including the game that was on earlier. Any chance they would let Brady fall victim to a 28-3 lead in his home stadium, no less?
No, I don't think they would want to purposely get down 25 points. That's a little risky. And I don't think they intentionally get down points. I think they're a team that's slow to start. But
it's going to be interesting with Tampa because not only does Tampa get a home game in their stadium, but I would assume that like all those healthcare workers that the NFL has invited to the Super, like those are all going to be from the Tampa area. Like that, it's going to be basically a home game for Tampa, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe they.
It sucks.
Of course, that happens at Tom Brady.
I can't believe
no Super Bowls ever in Foxborough, and the first year he goes to Tampa. God,
it was bound to
happen. I hate to hear that.
Continue, Andrew, with the questions.
All right, there's back to back questions from Balky, our buddy.
Yeah.
On the front lines of COVID, he's got a couple great ones, and I want these are both good ones for you, Ralph. The first one is, quite simply, why can't we have nice things?
We can't. I tweeted this out. Tampa going to the Super Bowl in their home stadium because of a PI call, that means one of two things. Either God hates the Saints or God is dead and Satan is now running things.
Fair.
Look, I have an answer for this question too. And Ralph, you can play the X-Files music. Okay. And I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. I'm putting it out there. I want you all to listen and pay attention. I think why can't we have nice things? I think the 28-3 thing, man. I think we're fucking ourselves. I think we are cursing ourselves. You know, we
putting
continue
some bad karma out there.
We continue to just rip into the Falcons for 28-3. It had nothing to do with us. That game had nothing to do with the Saints. And we just inserted ourselves into their business and we have, you know,
praising.
Yeah, we've made a joke of it. And nothing good has happened to the Saints since that has happened, okay? I want you to remember that. Ever since the Falcons lost in the Super Bowl to the Patriots, after leading 28-3, you had the Minnesota miracle catch. You had the no-call. You had losing to Minnesota again. Now you had this year. I'm just saying, I think we got to lose the 28-3 stuff. I think we got to let it go. I don't think we're going
to. If you had told me I'd have to suffer through the last 4 years, at 28-3, at that very moment when that extra point went through, and Arthur Blank is doing that celebration, that double arm extension on TV. And at that very moment, if you had told me, Andrew, I will offer you these next 4 years of excruciating playoff exits for the Saints, but in return, the Falcons will lose this game, I would say, fuck it, give it to me.
Sign. Where do I sign? Right now. I will sign that paper and there's no take backs.
I'll do it. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, I hope it was worth it.
So, Dave, it was worth it, and I regret nothing.
All right, because when Dalkey asks quite simply, why can't we have nice things, that's why we can't have nice things. 28-3. We sold our souls to the devil for 20.
Maybe I was a little hasty in that decision. Yeah. All right, Ralph. This is also from Balky. He wants to know: is it just me, or is the off season shaping up to be the most Ralph Malbro predictionist off season ever?
Oh, it is.
We either make the right – well, hold on, hold on. We either make the right choice at QB, the team stays largely intact, and the team burns the NFL to the ground, or we make the wrong choice at QB, we bottom out because of it, and have horrible cap issues. No middle ground.
I think it is. I think this is a question for you, Andrew. It is the most Ralphie offseason ever. Like it's I actually think
nothing in between.
I actually am I'm like that on game day. I fully admit it. But I think actually this year for the Saints, I actually think there's a middle path of the Saints go 9-7 and we fight it out next offseason up until free agency on whether the Saints should sign or kick Jameis to the curb. Like, I think that, like, I don't think it's going to be easy answer one way or the other. I think Jameis is going to go, he's going to throw for like 30 touchdowns, but like have like 20 turnovers, and the Saints are going to go 9-7, and it's going to be just blood in the streets for Saints Twitter. That's how I think it's going to go.
It would also be very Saintsy to start like 0-6, but then like, but then they finish on like a 6-game win streak and finish 7-9, you know, and Jameis just tears it up in a bunch of meaningless games. That would be great.
And then you have
All right, here's one more, Dave. Do you think the Saints trade Lattimore or Ramczyk, and would you trade either of them for Stafford and a third?
Ooh.
Sorry. So it'd be Lattimore or Ramczyk and a third for Stafford.
Yeah. Honestly, I would. Yeah, I would.
Which one? Either. You got to keep Ram. You can't trade Ramczyk. Stafford, right?
That's exactly right. So yeah, I probably would get rid of Lattimore, and then you know, then you don't have to pay him, so that helps out with the salary cap issue. And then you're only giving up a third round pick. You get to keep your first round pick. I know it's only a 28th pick, but I would sign up for that.
Jenkins is 33, and he's probably a cap casualty because he's supposed to make like $11 million or something this year. So
yeah.
So you realize you just traded away. We're losing Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah.
Maybe we could re-sign, you know, maybe we can renegotiate and get Janoris Jenkins' cap hit down.
Yeah. I don't know. That would scare me to death. Like, I'm petrified to pay Lattimore because he's so inconsistent, but I'm petrified to let him leave because I know how the Saints look without corners. I saw it in 2014, 15, and 16, and it was awful.
All this Lattimore talk about him leaving, I get it. He's so inconsistent. He's frustrating. But we're really dancing. I mean, we're doing a slow tango, a flamenco dance with Ken Crawley playing corner again. I just want you guys to know that.
Yeah. I mean, Travis Fredericks, Ken Crawley, B.W. Webb.
Sterling Moore.
I mean, yeah. Brandon Browner.
Damian Swan.
Yeah.
Corey White.
I mean, the corners.
Dark list,
it
my
was
friend.
Dark. It was dark day. It was the darkest night, and morning seems so far away. So, do we have any more, Andrew?
That's it.
So, guys, thanks for joining us in the chat room.
Oh, hold on. Balky asks if he can have a third question.
Go ahead.
That's his third question.
He's already. Yes, you could have. Balky asked some great questions. He's already hit on like two of Thomas's video rants, like our off Balky question. He's like first team all question asker, if that was a thing.
Timestamp the 28-3 thing too.
Do the timestamps again. But Thomas, if you notice, I had the video, I had it all stacked right. The graphic came on. No, nothing popped up. It was right. And I believe this video is streaming at 7:20. So I don't think Thomas in our meeting on Tuesday, I don't think he'll spend the first 10 minutes insulting me. So I'm excited for that. But everybody, thanks for joining us. Listen, every other Saints podcast, they're like, we'll see you. We're going to cut down the schedule. We're not going to be doing as much. We'll see you around the draft and when free agency really gets kicking. Not us. We go every freaking day. We had breaking news about Ryan Nielsen staying, about Michael Thomas's surgery. So we continue to roll. This train just rolls on and on and on in the offseason. We're the best. So you should sign up and get your forever Drew Brees cup before they go out of stock and they're gone forever. It's $10 a month. And you get access to the Discord channel, which is amazing. And if you want more swag, go to saintshappyhourshop.com. Dave's got all our swag set up. You can buy even more of it. So do it. We're the best Saints. Oh, and by the way, Malta, I'm very disappointed in you. 11th. What in the hell is going on in Malta? Are y'all like on vacation or something? That is disrespectful. What? I'm very displeased. So get it back. Get it together, Malta.
They must
get us
down
back
on
the
Saints.
Get us back in the top five.
We need to trade for Stafford to move up in Malta.
That's right. So for Andrew, for Dave, for Kevin, who's MIA, I'm Ralph. Until next time, the bar is closed.